Thank you, Pastor. It's a privilege to be here with you this morning. And I know our classes have been dismissed, but I would like us as a church. I don't tune into the news a lot, but, you know, I do tune in, and we're at a critical situation in the United States. A lot of, you know, with Syria, things going on in there, if you've heard. And I've been telling my kids, you know, I got a son that's 16 years old, you know. War is not God's first choice, but it is inevitable because Jesus said there will be wars and famines. But I want us to pray together as a church for our nation as we start off this morning. Our kids are getting ready to start back to school all across this nation. Miss Jean's a teacher. My wife's a teacher. And, you know, we've already had some issues happening, but, you know, that one lady that's been on the news, she stood up and she ministered love and grace to a man that was deranged, that was possessed by the devil to come in and do destruction. And she rose up with love and took over that situation. Love will overcome it. Amen?
Amen.
The name of Jesus is above every name that's named in this world. So let's, as a church this morning, before I even start with the message, I want us to agree for our country, pray for our wisdom to our president, to commanders and chiefs, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and all of our troops, if deployed, those that are already deployed. Because when we hear it, we're hearing at our time, but they've already moved on our nation's time. You know, we're not hearing everything because we don't need to, because that's the way it's set up. But let's agree this morning as a church, as a corporate church this morning. Father, we just come in agreement this morning, Lord, that there's issues going on in our nation. And Father God, I know back in the Old Testament that the king would go to the prophet, and he was hearing from God, and he would ask before he did anything. So, Lord, we're asking for your wisdom that you give to our president, to the leaders of our nation concerning the issues over in the Middle East, that, Lord, you told us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So we pray for peace right now in the Middle East for all those that are being hit with all this destruction and devastation. Father, we pray for your hand of protection over the innocent right now, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, for the nation, the United States of America, that you have raised up to bring justice to the world, to stand and fight for those that can't fight for themselves. And we thank you right now for the wisdom that you will give our president, that you will help him make the right decisions, Lord. And we pray for protection for all our men and women in the military, young and old. And we thank you, Father God, for your angels that are dispatched to watch over and protect each one of them, Father. And for our teachers, Lord, for a school season as we start this season, Father, we just pray for your protection right now as they go out into the classrooms. Lord, we bind the power of the devil right now that would try to come into our classrooms, to our schools. Lord, that any deception will be brought into the light. Anybody that's deceived, that's trying to bring any destruction or plot any plans in this nation, Lord, that they would be revealed to the individuals in leadership in our schools and in the security. In Jesus' name, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's what the church is about. It's about being God's voice in this earth until He returns. We're singing about heaven this morning. There's coming a day when Jesus is going to break those clouds with the shout of the archangel. He's going to descend, and He's going to take us out of here. Amen? It's called the rapture of the church. And God so orchestrates everything, and I thank Him for the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Ghost, because He is the one that I lean on. And I'm going to lean on this thermostat a little bit. Y'all know me up here. I'm a little hot-natured. I get going. When I see Boots and Maudie start shivering back here, I know I got to start getting close to a close. But talking about heaven and God orchestrating things, before, you know, Terry sends us out an email, lets us know what's coming Sunday for preparation for the music. And the Holy Spirit had just, as I was praying, 2 days before I checked my email, just talk about heaven, just the word heaven. And Terry and I see I pull up the clip, and we're singing about heaven. I said, praise God, we're gonna talk about heaven. Heaven is a place, and it's a reality. It's a reality. I did a search just in the New Testament. I didn't even hit the Old Testament. Just in the New Testament, there was over 300 verses that had the word heaven in it. You think Jesus wants us to know a little bit about heaven? And the good thing is, it's where God abides. It's the abode of God. Heaven is His resting place. The earth is His footstool. Just get a picture of that. Just think of God. Jesus has got His feet upon the footstool and His recliner. He's in heaven, and earth is just like His footstool. That's how big He is. Heaven cannot contain God. That's how awesome He is. You know, David wanted to build Him a temple. And God looked at David. He saw his heart, but He said, David, how can man build me a temple where I can rest and where I can abide? It can't hold the presence of God. But God still honored his request, and Solomon built Him a temple. His son built Him a temple. Amen? And he filled that temple. He filled it with His presence and with His glory. Amen? That's where God abides in heaven. It's the abode of God. It is where He resides. It's where He dwells. Amen? I dwell immortal in a little spot of heaven here on the earth, about 1,300 square feet. God doesn't look at square feet. Amen? Anybody can do math? It's beyond mathematician what the square footage that God has or that He abides in. It's eternal. It's eternal. Amen. There's not much you can say with it. It's eternal. But heaven, why wait to die? Why wait to experience heaven? Why experience it today? Amen. That's what we're talking about today. When this body goes to the ground, unless Jesus comes by the rapture, this body's got to lay down, but the person, Robert's not laying down. Miss Jean, Terry, we're not laying down when that time comes. We're rising up. Jesus laid down, but Father God raised Him up. And Jesus is now seated in heavenly places. He's seated in the throne room of heaven in a body, in a glorified body. Amen? That's where He is. That's a reality. And we're going to experience it now. Luke 23, 40 and verse 43, this is Jesus. When He was on the cross and He was finishing the work that God had called Him, that God had destined Him to do. And we know the story that one thief on the cross, the one on the left side, he's telling Jesus, he's going with the crowd below saying, save yourself. You saved others. Save yourself. Come down from this cross. And he also said, and save us. So he wasn't looking at Jesus, the innocent. He was full of himself. He said, if you can save yourself, then you can save us. You can save me. This thief on the cross, he was wanting to be saved for what he did. But the other thief on the cross had a different perspective. He was getting ready to experience a little bit of heaven on the earth before Jesus actually went there himself. But the other thief, they're answering him, saying, do you not fear God, seeing that you are in the same condemnation? And this is the thief talking to the other thief. And we justly are here for this purpose, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man, talking about Jesus, the one in the middle, who had committed no crime, who loved people, was the only crime he committed, who healed people, cast out devils, destroyed the works of the devils. That's the only crime he did. He was preaching grace, truth. But this man had done nothing wrong. And he said to Jesus, this thief stood up for Jesus on a cross. You know you can stand up for Jesus on a cross? Amen? He was nailed to a cross, but he stood up for the cross. He stood up for Jesus. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He believed in the stories he heard about Jesus. He was preaching, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent. Guess what? He repented. It took him to a cross. It took him hanging on a cross beside the king on the cross. But even David, even I've sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God's not looking at what we've done. He's looking at our repentant heart. He cried out when you, Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. And this is Jesus. I love Jesus. I love the Lord. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that's for a surety. You can count on it, brother. Today, Jesus sitting there suffering on, but he had a glimpse of where he was going. Today, you shall be with me in paradise. Paradise. Back then, that word paradise, that was Sheol in the earth. But when I was a baby Christian and learning, listening, following the Lord, that word paradise there in the Greek says it's a park. That is an Eden. Remember the Garden of Eden? A place of future happiness. This word paradise. When I was seeking the Lord and reading His Word, somebody asked me, well, what is heaven to you? And the Holy Spirit revealed to me, paradise. Paradise is anywhere Jesus is. Because Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Wherever Jesus is, if He's hanging on the cross, guess what? There's heaven. That's paradise. Because He is God's only Son. Amen? Paraclete, para is when somebody comes along and stands beside you. A parachute, you jump out of an airplane, you want to have a parachute. Something that you can grab onto and hang on to that's going to help you get down to the ground safely. Jesus is our paradise. He's who I hold on to until that glorious day comes when our bodies are changed and we can see Him face to face. But now we see Him by faith. And He's my paradise. He's who I hold on to. Amen? In this world, in this earth, that's paradise. Now, if you're familiar with me and my family, we've been to Disney World. We've helped build Mickey's mansion down there. Maybe in paradise too, because it's not cheap to take a family of six and go to Disney World. But God is good, and He blesses you. Amen? He wants you to have good things here on the earth. Disney World's nothing compared to the park that Jesus has prepared. Disney World's a big park. They got some big rides, a lot of things going on, a lot of entertainment. Guess what? The Bible says our days can be as the days of heaven on the earth. What God has given us here to enjoy, the man that made this theme park, is for excitement. It's to things that we can enjoy, our kids. You know, and that's good. God is about giving us the desires of our heart. Just think, what we can come up with here on the earth does not hold a candle to what God has got in store for us. Amen? John 14:2, and you're familiar with this, John 14:2-3 says, in my Father's house, if you're in the kingdom of God, you can call God Father. He's your Father. He's your daddy. And kids would be good, and my kids would be smart and wise. If they got a problem, go to daddy. If daddy's serving God, go to daddy. Because He's got the answer and He's got the wisdom that you need. In my Father's house are many mansions. He's got a big family. And Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare it, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is working on a theme park up there. And your name, if you made Him your Lord and Savior, it's a reality that He's got something prepared especially just for you and for me. You can be getting excited about it now, but you can also experience heaven and that paradise today. Just like that thief, even though he was suffering on that cross, was going to have his knees and was going to have his legs broken so that he would die, was experienced. When Jesus said today, that was enough grace for that man to survive the torment he was going through on that cross. I can just feel the anointing. When Jesus said today, when he called out upon the Lord, you know, the Christians back in those days, Nero, he would take Christians and put them on poles and burn them. And because he wanted them to deny Christ. I just know God, I know he gave them the grace. He gave those. You know, you remember when Stephen was stoned, being stoned to death, he looked up. He looked up and he saw Jesus in heaven. God opened up heaven for one man to see Jesus so that he could take away that pain. brothers and sisters, I believe it's, you know, you can dig it in the scriptures. You might not find it, but God gives us grace for coming and grace for leaving. And I believe He takes the pain away. There's no pain to leave this body and enter heaven's gates. Because Jesus, God, He's a Father that wants to take care of His kids. And He gives them that anointing to do it. Heaven is God's dwelling place. It's where He abides. Matthew 5, verse 34. You can go there with me. Because Ruthie's not going to be able to pull this up because this actually is going to be on a PowerPoint. So you'll get to... Let's go to the pages of heaven today. You have heaven. You know, back before I got born again, you know, I had a big Bible. When I got married, one of those big white Bibles you usually get. And it sat on my coffee table and I never even probably dusted it off. Just gathered dust. But one day, when I got born again, I picked up that Bible and it had some big words. I could read that thing without my glasses on. That was a big Bible. You know, God's Word is more sure to me than if an angel would speak to me. That's how powerful this Word is. But it doesn't do anything until you take it and you put it in your heart. And it grows. It's words of life. You're getting some words this morning that if you receive them into your heart, they will grow up. And they will help you grow up. Amen? Matthew chapter 5. God's dwelling place is heaven. Verses 34. I'm going to start at 33. Again, you have heard that if it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, just as Jesus speaking, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. It's a holy place. Amen? It's where God dwells. It's where He abides. Flip over to Acts. Chapter 7, right after John. You remember Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you? God is, you've received Him, He's dwelling in you 24-7, amen? Acts 7, verses 55 and 56. You know, always when you minister something, receive something, get two places in the Bible, you can find it. And you can build your faith on it. Let's look at verse 54. This is Stephen when he was martyred. It says, when they heard these things, when Stephen had pricked their hearts with the Word of God, with what he believed, he was standing up for Jesus. He was giving a testimony of what Jesus had meant to him. And they were cut to their heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus and God, and the Holy Ghost, the three are one. That's a representative of the Trinity right there. That's what we believe in. Saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. That would have been a good time for repentance to those that had just had their heart pricked. But instead, they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran, and with one accord stoned Him to death. A lot of people is not going to believe our testimony of heaven because they don't have that witness on the inside. But guess what? We got to say, look, He's coming. Be prepared. Get ready. He's coming. He said wars and rumors of war. Be ready. At any time, Jesus said, I'm coming. That's where God dwells. He dwells in the heavens. It's a real place. It's a reality. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see about, it's a heavenly country. It's a city. It's a real place. It's our future destination. Hebrews chapter 11. Let me get there. I didn't mark my Bible this morning. I'm going to flip the pages with you today. Hebrews 11. Let's just go on up a little bit. I like to get the meat out of some of these. Sometimes I just don't like to jump right in. In verses 13, you know, Hebrews 11, what chapter is that? What do we call chapter 11? That's the faith chapter. That's the faith book. Chapter 12 is Terry's book, Hebrews 12, that's when Terry's story of faith starts. It's when your story starts. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They saw them by faith. They were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims here on the earth. That's who we are. This is not our home. This is not our final destination. It used to be until sin entered in. Now this world is decaying. It's getting older. The earth itself. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. You know, we have a homeland security here in the United States of America. Jesus has a homeland for us secured with His life. And Him and God have personally made us mansions there. How awesome a God we serve. You talk about homeland security. In heaven, there's no gates that are locked. The gates are open. Amen. Because there is no thief that can break in and steal your stuff in heaven. Hallelujah. Because God, He neither sleeps nor slumbers. And verse 15, and truly if they had called to mind that country from which they had came out of, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better place. Say, I desire a better place. We desire a better place. Amen? God gives us the desires of our heart. We're desiring a better place. Guess what? He knew we would, and He's already prepared it. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. He's coming back. We desire a better place. That is a heavenly country. Oh, glory. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. For He has prepared a city for them. Concord's a pretty big city, ain't it? Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, is going to be a real big city. Going to be a lot of stuff going on in Jerusalem. You know all the feasts they celebrated in the Old Testament? There was a lot of them, wasn't it, John? They were commanded to keep these feasts. Up there, in heaven, that new Jerusalem, there's going to be so many feasts going on. We ain't going to have time to get there in one day. Amen. We're just going to hit one feast and we're just going to be, oh, man, wow. This is heaven. So much to do. But you know what? A lot of times I find myself here on this earth, there's just not enough daylight to get the things done that day. You know, four kids and the commitments we have with sports and school. And if you got kids, you've raised kids, you know. If you're a kid, you know. You've been there. Just, you run out of daylight. That's why God said, there is no darkness in heaven. Because you never run out of something to do. It's always going to be light. I said this one time, well, how are we going to sleep, Miss Jean? Well, think about that when we get there. We won't need to. Just think about that. A lot of energy. It's a heavenly country. It's a city. It's a real city. It's called paradise. I mentioned that, and you can see that. You don't have to go there in 2 Corinthians 12, 2 and 4. It's a paradise. You know, always when I think of paradise, I think of Hawaii. A paradise, you know, for the rich and the wealthy. You remember that show that used to come on TV? Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous or the Wealthy. I always turn that show. I'm like, man, look at all they got. I turn it back to Andy Griffin. Get back to reality. Black and white, Andy Griffin. Barney Fife. I still, you can get Netflix. You can watch Barney 24/7. And you know, Barney and Andy, Don Knox, Andy Griffin, they're not with us any longer. And I pray that they, you know, for what they did and the lives I've seen them, I felt like they were Christians by the life that they lived. And you know, if they are, they're up there enjoying paradise, heaven. Seeing those lives that they touched with the comedy and laughter. And it was good comedy and laughter, morality, the shows that they did. And I'm glad that I can share that with my kids. There's angels in heaven. There's angels here on the earth. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 30. Are you getting excited? Are you excited about Jesus? You know, and I'll just throw this out there. This is Robertology. But, I mean, don't go write a book on this. But remember, there's two short verses in the Bible about Jesus. It says Jesus wept. And he was weeping because Lazarus, his friend, had died. Now, I can see the emotional Jesus. He lived in his body. He suffered as far as he got tired. He got hungry. He ate. He lived in a physical body, and he cried. He lost his friend. Jesus wept. But I when I read that, I feel something deeper in Jesus. Because he knew he is the resurrection and the life. Because Lazarus' sister was, Jesus, if you had been here, he wouldn't have had to die. But Jesus, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he knew he was going to die. And he didn't delay his coming because he had work that he had to do on the way. But he knew that Lazarus would be raised from the dead. Because he talked about that when he got there. He said, Father, when he spoke Lazarus, he is not dead. He said, Father, I know this, but I'm saying this so that they can know. Jesus knew he was going to raise him, but he still wept. I thought about that and I thought, well, Jesus, is he weeping because Lazarus was going to have to come back from that paradise that he was in? He was in Abraham's bosom. He was in the place of the righteous dead. And he was going to be forever with Jesus, not having to come back to this earth and to this body. And sometimes I see Jesus wept that he was going to have to. But that was what Jesus had to show, that he was the resurrection and the life. Lazarus was chosen to be brought back from the dead. Jesus had to do the Father's will. I believe he wept to know that his friend was going to have to come back and have to die again physically. But on the other hand, think about it. Lazarus was dead. His body was. How many days was he in the tomb, John? 4 days. His body stinketh. His body was decaying. But Lazarus was not in the tomb. His body was in the tomb. He was in paradise. To be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. Well, Jesus was on the earth. So Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. But he was in paradise. Jesus was coming. Jesus was going to be there for too long. But when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, he was wrapped up. He was a mummy. You ever seen any embalmed? He was wrapped up. He couldn't get up out of the grave. The power of God, think about this. You know, you've seen movies, you've seen Hollywood do the best they can with things raising up, coming out. Lazarus' body was raised and brought in front of the tomb. The stone was removed by the power of Jesus' words. Lazarus, come forth. He is the resurrection and the life. That dead body was raised up, stood up, and then Jesus said, loose him and let him go. He had no ability to get up out of that grave himself. But Jesus, his word, his power, stood him right in front of that tomb. And then they loosed him and let him go. Now, think of the testimony that Lazarus has. Brothers and sisters, there was a student in my class last year. First-year student, him and his dear wife, Myrtle and Berman Watkins, went with me through a full year on the foundations of faith. That's the first year here at Life Christian University. We teach faith, the principles of faith. The last thing we teach is the authority of the believer. And brothers and sisters, maybe 2 weeks before me and my wife went to the beach, he might have been out of class, been from break about a month or two. He was outside working in his garden, him and his wife, and he fell over. Had a stroke, was in a coma. Didn't get to say anything to his wife, just fell over. And he was in the hospital in a coma. But you know what? I went and had the opportunity after I got back, talked to his wife and went up there. They had already gone home and got to stand and just trust and believe God and went up there and prayed and spoke to a body that was non-responsive. It was cold. They brought his body temperature down. Whatever they do, whatever the doctors do, they were doing what they were trained to do. But I did what God has trained me to do. I went there on the authority of his wife, believing that he was going to come out of this. I told him, Berman, classes are starting in about 6 weeks. I didn't say come forth, but I said, you said you were coming back to school, Berman. I'm here to agree with you and pray with you that you're going to be in class. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be here to orientation. They had to keep him in there 6 weeks, but I tell you what, about maybe a week later, 3 or 4 days later, Myrtle called me and said, Berman came back. He knows everybody, and he's talking a little bit. Praise God. About 2 weeks later, maybe they said maybe 4 or 5 weeks in there, because that's pretty critical. You go into a coma. Well, about 4 days ago, 5 days ago, she called me again. Said, Berman is leaving the hospital today, and he's going, this is his last day of rehab. He'd like to talk to you. And I talked to the Berman that I talked to over here in class. That, my brothers and sisters, that's a good feeling. I kind of know how Jesus felt a little bit when he said, Lazarus, come forth. Berman was back. My buddy was back. And he had a good foundation of faith to help get him back, because he wasn't ready to go. We have a will. We have a choice. Now, had Berman and Myrtle been ready, if he was ready, he didn't have to come back. But he wasn't ready yet, because he stood at our graduation ceremony. He was all dressed in white and maybe a red tie. But he gave a testimony. He was giving a testimony of what God has done in his life. Had healed him from cancer. Cancer is not a problem. A coma is not a problem for the God he served. Amen. And then have somebody agree with you that believed in the same way. He's back. He's back. And Myrtle is happy. She's got her husband. She's got her helpmate there. And just think of the testimonies he's going to be able to give talking about his Jesus. Amen. And y'all just agree with me. I know I'm not sure of all. There's a lot of money involved. I don't know all the details, the insurance, all this stuff. But you know what? God is the God of abundance. And I'm just believing right now that he's going to work things out for them. They have a desire to come back and get underneath teaching, and because they're ministers. They minister at their church. And they drive 45 minutes, 30, 45 minutes from Monroe down here to get some teaching. That's commitment there. Jesus is committed. Jesus is faithful. Amen. We never made it to talk about the angels, did we? Matthew 22:30. Okay, here we go. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. You know, there's some people out there that are saying a lot of things, don't know what they're talking about. That's what Jesus is saying right here. They're still out there today. A lot of times you say something you just heard somebody say, but you haven't experienced it, or it's not the truth. It's called hearsay. Well, Jesus is here. This morning he's saying heaven's a reality. I'm big enough for anything that you're battling here on the earth. I've overcome it. That's a good hearsay. I heard him just say that. Is Dallas back there? Dallas can, we're going to get them angels in a minute. Dallas can relate to this. Friday night football. I'm not sure if Ken's hearing this or not, but I'm going to say it. He might have seen it, Vicky. But Friday night football, Mooresville beat West Rowan. 35-21, right? Is that right, Dallas? I'll make sure I get the score right. That's the big rival there in Mooresville. They were down. Dallas, would you like to tell this? You want to come up here and say it on the mic so they can hear you? Stand up and just voice and just give me a little. Just.
We're down 21-14 at half, and we got in the locker room. We were all sitting down, and coach was like, either now. Last year we had 4-7 seasons. This whole year we came together. We went to a Christian camp as a team. Stayed there for a week. We went undefeated there. We decided we didn't want to our season go like it did last year. We wanted to get better. We became a family this year. We said we had to turn around. So the second half, I think we scored one time and missed the points. So it was 20-21 going into the fourth quarter. I think 2 minutes into the fourth quarter, I got a bubble screen pass from my quarterback, 48-yard touchdown. was up 28-21. And we ended up scoring one time. We beat West Carolina 35-21.
Praise God. Praise God. But leading up to that, when I came home that Friday evening, I actually got home early enough to get all my stuff done. And I walk into the house, and Dallas is sitting there with these headphones on. And you know, I know it's getting game time, pregame time, and I pulled one up, or I might have just said, I said, "What are you doing? What are you listening to?" He said, "Motivational speeches." And you know, Dad and a minister, I'm wanting to say, well, I got some couple of scriptures I know that will motivate you, but I didn't. I'm like, I got to trust him. I got to trust what he's listening to. So I got still, got quiet. But then on the way to drop him off to school, I heard Jesus say he's going to get one long scoring drive, touchdown, and he's going to get a short touchdown. And Morris was going to be, I'm taking him by two touchdowns. I told that to Dallas. He had it on it. I said, "Pull this up. I want to tell you something." And I told him just what I told you. And he got a 48-yard touchdown. And I was like, "Yes, go, go, go. Thank you, Jesus." And I told him, I said, "You need to tell your quarterback he didn't hear Jesus that night." Because he didn't throw to him but about four times, and he caught three out of the four passes for big gains. Had he have threw to him those other times he would open, he would have got that short TD, and it would have been a lot, going into the half, I think it would have been a lot closer. We'd have been on top. I just believe that because I heard God say that. You're talking about a motivational speaker. God is a good one. Because if you believe what he says and you speak it and then you act upon it, it will happen. And Dallas acted upon that. And he had a part to play. He had to catch the ball and he had to run. He's a pretty fast runner. Amen. I played defense. I ran after them. He runs from them. See, God works all these things out in your families. You know, don't be expecting your kids to be like you. Be like the God in you is what we can expect. But let God reveal their talents and abilities and let them run their race, their course. He's a runner. But he wouldn't want to run up against Dad. One day we'll get to play that game. Don't come across the middle when Dad, when we get to heaven, Dad going, "I played middle linebacker." You didn't want them little skinny boys coming from Dad back then in my day now. I was skinny too. God has a sense of humor, don't he, Terry?
Amen.
When we was at Spirit of Faith Worship Center, my kids were younger then. My wife, she was over the Sunday school. There's a song back then, if y'all probably remember it, it says, "My Father's House." It's a big, big house with lots and lots of room. A big, big table with lots and lots of food. It's a big, big house where we can play. Big, big yard where we can play football. It's a big, big house. That's my father's house. The kids did that song. I did the video in the background. I just threw some mansions up there. We had the Carolina Panthers when it's a good place to play football. We had the Panthers. Heaven is going to be a fun place. I'm going to play football in heaven. I don't know about you. I'm going to go fishing when I get to heaven. I'm going to catch some fish when I go fishing when I go to heaven. Amen. Ain't going to be no empty sack when I come home. I'm going to have some fish. Jesus went fishing. He caught fish. Amen. So if you ain't caught no fish, you're going to catch fish when you get to heaven. You can start catching them now. Take Jesus with you. He's with you. Amen. Ask him where to go. Ask him where to fish. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 22:30. There's angels in heaven. I went to verse 29. I read that. "For in the resurrection," Jesus said, "they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven." Jesus is talking about marriage. He said he's comparing marriage in heaven to like angels in heaven that neither marry or are given in marriage. So I'm not going to try to figure all that out. I'm married right now here on the earth, but when I know when I get to heaven, God's got something better than that. Better than the way I'm married to my wife now. It's going to be better. Amen? It's going to be better. It's a good place to shout, brothers. Wives, it's going to be better. Hallelujah. It's going to be better. We have citizenship in heaven. You know, we're citizens here of the United States of America. When you get born again, you are a citizen of heaven. Philippians 3, verse 20 shows us that. Flip on over to Philippians in the back here. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Now, I pulled a lot of scriptures out, but I'm not building on something here as far as I'm taking a lot of places, but it's all showing you heaven, little bits of heaven. You get in there and you dig in the scripture. Take Jesus. He is the paradise. He's your paraclete. He's in heaven. He'll lead you and show you depths that I can't take you today. He'll give you dreams and revelations by night, by day. Those that seek and hunger after righteousness, he said, he'll fill you up. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, for our citizenship, talking about those that are born again, you know, when I became a United States citizen, I was born here. Mom and daddy were raised here, born here. I was born here. When I received and asked Jesus to come into my life, I was born there. I was born again. Not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible seed. Romans 10:9-10 says, if I confess with my heart and believe in my mouth, that Jesus is Lord, I will be born again. I became a citizen of heaven that day. Guess what? There ain't no king above Jesus that can take your citizenship away. Right? It ain't like there's some people that come over here that are not citizens. They can be deported. You cannot be deported because you are Jesus said, the Father who have given me, they will not be plucked out of his hand. His hands were nailed for your citizenship in heaven. He died on a cross so that you could be with him forever. Amen. You cannot be plucked out of them nail-scarred hands. That's eternal. That's an eternal promise I have. That makes me happy. That makes me happy because I know I'm going to mess up somewhere. I'm going to not follow suit. But Jesus fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law and then laid it down and gave me that grace and mercy. Mm-mm-mm. That made me a citizen of heaven. And guess what? There's a lot of benefits to that. I have hope laid up in heaven. Hope laid up in heaven. Look in the book of Colossians. You're kind of close right there, Edit. Go up a few books. Colossians 1, verses 5. Look at verse 4. Let's just go to verse 3. Colossians 1, verse 3. Our faith is in Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah that has came and is coming again. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord. There's showing Jesus' deity right there, that God is also His Father. Jesus had to be born here in this earth, into this citizenship, so that we could rightfully take our place in Him. He didn't do it like the devil. He didn't come and take it and steal Adam's authority. No, He came in and was received into Mary's womb. He was received into Mary's womb. The devil came in and deceived Eve. Jesus came and he was received into Mary's womb. Big difference between the devil and the way God operates. Amen? God doesn't come in and take His place. We receive Him and He takes His rightful place. And then He'll never leave. Jesus said, I'll never leave you and forsake you once He comes in. Amen? We can leave and forsake Him, walk away from Him. Guess what? He's still there. He hasn't left. You still have citizenship. You can go out of the border. You can get your passport and go overseas. That doesn't mean you lose your citizenship, right? You just come back home. If you mess up, just go back home. Go back to Daddy's house. That's what the prodigal son did, didn't he? He went back to Daddy's house. Daddy had all the stuff. He had the good stuff. Had plenty of stuff. And Daddy received him with open arms. Jesus received our citizenship with open arms on that cross. We have hope laid up in heaven from Colossians 1:5-1:3. We give thanks to God. Jesus gave thanks to His Father God. Before He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, He gave thanks and He prayed for us. With sweat of blood, He prayed. He saw us. He saw His family. It was worth it. Of our Lord Jesus Christ praying always for you, Verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, verse 5, because of the hope, there's that hope, Bible hope. There's hope and there's Bible hope. We ain't just hoping and a praying. We are hoping and a knowing. Amen? That's Bible hope. It's hoping and a knowing, not hoping and a praying. Big difference. Because of the hope which is laid up, it's laid up for us in heaven, of which you have heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Jesus preached it. Paul preached it. Peter preached it. I'm preaching it. I got hope in Jesus Christ. It's laid up for me eternally in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the hope that's laid up for us. There's a lot of people here on the earth that don't have that hope. It's been laid up. We have treasure in heaven. Flip back over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. We're getting close to a close here. You know, heaven's gates are never closed. It's going to be hard to close this message today. We ain't going to close it. We're just going to unhook. How's that? We're going to leave the east gate, go out here to Applebee's gate, and we'll come back some in to the west gate. Amen? We'll hook back up again. Matthew 6. Better get there. Matthew 6, verses 20. You know, I've got Bible eSword on my computer here. I could already be there, but you know, I like to, just because I've got a computer and I've got all these tools, I still like this King James Bible that I got all my good notes and stuff written in that I can share with it. Because when God gives me something, I write it down. It's for a specific day, a purpose to share with others. Verse 20. Says, verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Now, you guys don't take that literally. Jesus is not saying don't put any money in your savings account. He's always speaking something, and he's speaking to your heart. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. What he's doing, he's doing a contrast here. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. You know, I had some family, verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there is your heart also. And out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. I had, you know, family steal something from me a few years back. A tool was worth probably a good $600. He sold it for $30, $40 to get some pills. Well, you know what? I could have got angry, upset. I wasn't using the tool. It's what I used when I was in construction. But it was mine. It was something I worked hard to get. But you know what? Jesus worked hard to get his soul. And I had to weigh the cost. And I said, just like Jesus, Lord, forgive him. Forgive him, for he don't know what he's doing. He's in the flesh. He's addicted to this stuff. But you know what? I'm going to forgive him. And I let him know I forgave him. I told him I forgive him. You know what? It's back in my possession. From him, it's back in my possession. He's still working. He's still got some areas in his life that's real tough right now. But he saw somebody forgive. It's not about treasures here on the earth that I'm holding on to. It's about the treasure that God wants is a soul born into the kingdom in his citizenship. That's what it's about. And if letting loose of that here on the earth can get him into heaven, that's okay. But then God rewards you. Where thieves break in and steal, it ain't happening in heaven. God will bring it back to you. Whether it comes from him or whether it comes from another source, it will come back. But you got something to do. You got to believe it. You got to say that. And then you got to operate in that love and forgiveness. Jesus said in Mark 11, 23 or 24, when you stand praying, forgive. I've got to forgive. That's what true Christians do, right? We forgive one another and we love one another. Because God so loved the world that he gave. What are you going to give? Got to give that love, amen? That's who we are. That's true treasures in heaven is love, joy, peace. Nobody can take those away from you. The devil will try, but guess what? He has no thought, he has no room in heaven. Don't let him in. Now, I'm not talking about Our day, we're walking in heaven right now. The kingdom of God is within me. Heaven is on the earth. The devil thought he kind of got God's picture off of the earth. He's so delusional. Nope. Jesus bought it back. Jesus brought it back. And he bought it back. Praise God. So don't let the devil mess up your days here on the earth. You serve God. You serve Jesus. You're a citizen of heaven here on the earth. And you can operate in that kingdom. You don't have to operate in this. You can operate in both kingdoms. Jesus said when they asked him and he gave him a quarter or denarius, whose inscription on it? And he said, Caesar's. They said, well, why don't you pay? When you pay taxes, do you pay taxes? Or what do you do, Jesus? Who do you give your heart, your loyalty to? He said, give to God what is God's and give to Caesar's what is Caesar's. Pay the taxes. Do what you're supposed to do here on the earth. Pray for your president, for your country. Honor God. You can have best of both worlds. Amen? Best of both worlds. And God, you want God working for you, not against you. And He is for you. But we get out of His kingdom, we get out of His domain, it can work against us as Christians. Doesn't mean God is against us, it means we're out of His jurisdiction. And guess what? Concord police won't come over to Kannapolis if they get out of jurisdiction, right? They got to go to the judge. I'm not real familiar with law, but they got to get some things, search warrants worked out, all this stuff. Don't get out of God's jurisdiction. And remember, His abode, He's everywhere. But you can step out of His provision. Amen? And we're not going to do that. I like this one. Our names are written in heaven. I got a new name up there. Luke, verse 10, verse 20, lets us know that. And there's many more places in the Bible. Luke, chapter 10. Verse 20. And this is after Jesus had given His disciples authority to go and cast out devils, to heal the sick, just to take the authority that God had given him. And He said, now you go. You go out here and do the works that I'm doing. And they came back rejoicing. And they said in verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice about this, that what you're operating in is your names are written in heaven. Jesus said, that's what you need to rejoice about. What you're doing in my name right here on the earth, you're seeing great things happening. You're commanding devils to come out. You're commanding sickness. You're laying hands on God's people and they're getting healed. Man, they were experiencing heaven here on the earth. They were experiencing the same thing that Jesus was doing. They were feeling that power of God come through their bodies. But then they come to Jesus and they were fired up. They were operating in the anointing and the power of God. I've been there. I've done that. You can do that. They were operating by faith and love. They were fired up, John. They were on fire. They was ready to just take on Rome. Let's go, Jesus. And He came back and He said, boys, don't rejoice in all these works you're doing, but rather rejoice in this. One day this earth's going to be gone. And your names, Jesus said, heaven and earth's going to pass away, but my word will never pass away. Your name is written in me. Jesus is the word. Your name is written in me, and you have a new name. Rejoice at that. Jesus knew this earth was passing away. But there's a greater joy, brothers and sisters. When this earth is gone, He's created a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, and so are you. Praise God. You have an inheritance in heaven, and we're almost to the end. Inheritance in heaven. 1 Peter. You think Peter knew something a little bit about heaven? He walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, went fishing with Him every chance he got. 1 Peter 1, verse 4. This might be your day to get out of your boat. Walk on the water. Be a water walker like Peter was. Verse 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His abundant mercy, has, there's a lot of words right there, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the gospel right there. That's what I believe. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, that is reserved for you where? In heaven. What you got here on the earth ain't nothing compared to what you got coming. Terry said the best is yet to come. Get ready. You better get ready. Because it's there. And it's yours, Cecil. You got one motorcycle? I might have two up there, brother. Bum, 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 bum. Got me a sidecar. I'm going to throw Rowan in the sidecar. There's an inheritance there. Good things there. Praise God. Acts 2:2 says, and there came a sound from heaven. This is the day of Pentecost. I think Sherry's teaching a little bit about Pentecost this morning in Sunday school. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Let's just listen. We might just hear a sound this morning. It's already came, but God is still speaking. He's still thundering. When I hear thunder clouds boom, a lot of people looking for the storm, I'm looking for God. Because He said He thunders from heaven. That's God. The Bible says thunder is God speaking. I'm looking. I'm listening. Because you never know. That might be the angel. He's might getting ready to shout. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Father God, that day, sent the Holy Spirit. That's His gift. Jesus paid for it on the cross so that it could come to Pentecost. God sent us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now the lines of communication with Him are continually open. We are no more behind enemy lines with static. The lines of communication are open. The day of Pentecost fully came. The Holy Spirit came in. Indwelt the believers on the day of Pentecost, filled them with His presence, with the presence of heaven, with the presence of paradise. His house, God's house, heaven is open 24/7. Amen? That means if you don't have food in your pantry, guess what? Heaven's open 24/7. Call to Jesus. And He will minister to somebody. They'll bring you food. God will bring you a job. The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. I'm not saying He won't meet that need before then, but that's going to be a plan that He's going to work. He's going to get you a job. There's not a need out there that He hasn't met. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Are you excited? I'm excited this morning. Amen. You can't go to heaven yet, though. You got to stick. Not till Jesus comes back. You can't leave yet. Paul left. I ain't going to go too much further, Pastor. Paul, I'm not sure if I had on that in that outline. There was a time when he met Jesus, when Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, and it said a light from heaven. A light from heaven. A light from heaven has recreated brain cells. That same light, that same anointing, that same power that knocked Paul off his horse has gave Pastor new brain cells, a creative miracle. But that same anointing knocked Paul off his horse and blinded his eyes, not that so he couldn't see, but so that he could see. That he could see Jesus for who He truly is. And then Jesus had Ananias pray for him and he received his sight back and he went out into the deserts of Arabia. And for three and a half years, he was in paradise with Jesus. He was in the Holy Spirit in His presence and received revelations from God, from Jesus. He had intimate relationship with Jesus in the Spirit that the apostles had here on the earth. And there was no difference. The same Jesus revealed Himself to Paul from heaven the same way He revealed Himself to His disciples here on earth. And He's still doing it today. He revealed Himself to me. Same way, by His Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. If you're in here today and you have not made Jesus, or if you're listening by radio, by internet, and you have not made Jesus your King, heaven's door is open. And all He says is that those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you haven't received Jesus this morning, the door is open. He's asking you just to call upon His name. And He will save you. He will heal you, deliver you, and He will teach you and show you His life and His presence. And we just agree here with you at Word of Faith Worship Center that if you reach out to Him, He has already reached out to you. And by faith, if you have acted upon that right now, you are born again by the precious blood of Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank You for that right now. And if there's anybody here this morning that needs something from Jesus, we're here to open up the altar for you right now.